Hello, everybody, and welcome back to the Dual Screens Gamescast. I am one of your hosts, Stephen Fontana, and with me, as always, each and every week, he brings just so much swagoo that it drips from his pores and onto his lap, in which he wrings out his shorts into a glass and sells it for thousands, literally thousands of dollars per ounce. It is Andy Esimakis. How are you, Andy?
I want some of that swagoo.
You have it all, baby.
It is quite tasty.
It's better than Michael Jordan's secret stuff.
How's it going?
It's going, man. It's going. Margarita in hand. You got a vodka drink. And our guest has wine in hand. And that's right. Our guest is the creator and co-host of Game Stuff, a podcast about, you guessed it, Game Stuff. On your favorite podcast service of choice, it is Kalai. How are you, Kalai?
I'm wonderful. Thank you so much for having me on.
Thank you for being here. I know that this has made at least one of your co-hosts extremely jealous, which I did not know that your co-host Joe even would care to be on the show. But now that I know, the door is open, my friend. The door is open. But for those of you who have no idea what you just walked into, because maybe you listen to Game Stuff and you don't listen to Dual Screens, which is okay. I only hate you a little bit, but welcome. This is the Dual Screens Gamescast. This is a show where Andy and I, and sometimes a guest, go over the top stories of the big three companies, and we debate who had the best and worst weeks of it all, as well as discussing video games past, present, and future. The Dual Screens Gamescast posts each and every Monday for your listening pleasure on your podcast service of choice, including our host, Podbean. You could also find the video version of this podcast live on twitch.tv/dualscreenstreams every Sunday night when we record it, and the following night, thanks to Tricky, who told me the rules of Twitch that I cannot put this up within 24 hours on another service. So thank you, Tricky, but that will go on YouTube on Monday nights as well. And if you are listening on Apple Podcasts, we would love it very much if you would give us a review on Apple Podcasts, because it helps the show tremendously. We did get a bunch of reviews, but they are all in broken English. So I have a funny feeling some, I don't know, Persian prince or something from somewhere has gotten into our database.
It's gotta be Russia.
Somebody got in there and we got five reviews from that. I don't know. It is what it is. So maybe you could go in there, review it, and push those reviews down a little bit, because it looks a little suspicious. On this week's show, Andy, oh my God, Nintendo shows that it is not paper thin with its exclusives for 2020. Nintendo proves that Ghost of Tsushima is a force to be reckoned with. Unreal 5 is absolutely unreal, and Microsoft went into damage control mode because of it. But before we get into that, let's tell you about our other shows that we have on this very same network. That's right, folks. You don't have to go anywhere else. Once you're subscribed to the Dual Screens Podcast Network, you get all of our shows. What other show are we talking about? Our flagship show. That's right. Dual Screens Podcast, an interview show where we bring on video game developers, voice actors, programmers. Doesn't matter. If they make video games, we want to talk to them about it, and we give them the platform to tell their story. And that posts each and every Thursday for your listening pleasure on your podcast service of choice, including iHeartRadio and Spotify. And by the way, like I said before, you just stay right here, right on this channel, and you will get that show. And every other Friday, you will get a seasonal show. And right now we're in the middle of season one of Dual Screens Versus, where Andy and I debate hot topics picked by a guest host who then moderates and gives us points that don't matter. So far it's 1-1, Andy. No spoilers for anybody out there, but
the points matter to you for some reason. I feel
they do. They do, because I have the
dunce. Do you not win enough in life? Is that what it is?
No, I have the dunce image. You
mean validation?
The dunce image. Did someone not hug you enough as a child? Go from left to right or right to left on the screen and land perfectly on our skulls. and I like using it. And I like it when it's on your dumb head. Andy, tell us about our guest that we just had this week on Dual Screens Podcast.
If you have ever watched Seinfeld in any way, shape, or form, and thought, this is a good show about nothing, but why isn't it a game? Well, look no further, because our show last week was, I think, the greatest episode of all time on our podcast. It was the funniest thing. We had on Ivan and Jacob. They're working on the Seinfeld Adventure game as a pitch. Fingers crossed it gets released at some point and becomes an actual game. But oh my God, just, I thought I was a Seinfeld nerd before this. Nope, I was proven wrong. These guys are huge Seinfeld fans, and this game must happen. That was a great episode.
It was a lot of fun.
Highly recommended. Highly.
If you like what we do, you can support us on Patreon by going to patreon.com/NDS podcast, just like our Patreon producer, Colton, the apprentice Nestler. We cannot continue to grow without your support, and that $1 gets you a bonus episode every month where you vote the topic. It also gets you VIP access to our Discord channel where you can hang out with us and our indie dev former guests. And you could essentially become part of the show because there's a mailbag section where you could ask us questions. You can play games with us. It's a great hangout. It's where all of the closest and most staunch Dual Screens fans hang out. And now it is time for everybody's favorite future t-shirt that Missed Enough still has not made for us. It is time for Adventures in Gaming! 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 Andy?
So I stopped playing PS1 games for a little bit.
Oh, okay.
It had to happen. I think, you know what? It's been too long. I've been playing all these old games from like the 90s. I got to play a more modern game. And actually, I finished one this weekend, believe
Incredible.
It or not. Yes, I finished D2 for the Dreamcast. Amazing game. Oh my God, it's four discs, Steven. Four discs, a lot of discs.
That's a lot of discs, yeah. But I have a feeling you've handled plenty of discs in your day.
Too many to count. Mm-hmm. Once, 38 in a row.
Wow.
In a row.
38 discs in a row. That's impressive.
But yes, a lot like my PS1 endeavors, I realized why I couldn't beat this game 10 or 12 years ago.
Do tell.
Because one of the FMV cutscenes would constantly loop on my disc.
Oh my God, okay.
It was a scene of the main character starting up a car, like putting a key in the ignition, okay. And it was just a loop of her doing that over and over again. I was like, oh yeah, this is why I stopped playing this game on disc one 20 years ago. But I finally beat it.
Got to resurface that disc,
bro. It is a horror first-person light shooter RPG survival hunting game. It's a lot of stuff.
That's a lot of words.
A lot of things.
That's word vomit.
It's like 80 genres, but it all works so well. It's a great game. Check it out.
Awesome. Kalai, what have you been playing? I know what you've been playing, and I'm very excited to hear you tell us all about it.
Oh, yeah. I got into Children of Morta. I was actually recommended it by Matt, good friend of your podcast. Missed Enough. So I had gotten it for my birthday on Steam, even though you can get it on Xbox Game Pass for free right now. So if you have Xbox Game Pass, go check this game out. And I started playing Thursday, played for 4 hours, went downstairs, downloaded the game on Game Pass on my husband's PC and told him he has to play with me. We played Thursday night, Friday night, Saturday, and Sunday morning because we couldn't stop playing this game. Highly recommend it, especially if you have a person in your life that you're looking for a good co-op game in this time of quarantine.
Yeah. if I had a gamer in the house with me that I could play with me, that would definitely be on my very high on my list of games I would want to play.
You could always play with me if you would like.
Yes, over the interwebs, I guess we can do that. Is it cross-play or do you have to play all on the same thingy? Do you know?
Well, it doesn't have online co-op. It only has couch co-op.
See, that's where they get you, those bastards.
I know, but Steam has the feature that you can share play.
See, not all games support that, and all games should. Because it's fantastic. And by the way, Buzz Killington getting the great Game Pass line in every show. Thank you, Buzz. That's it. You're timed out. Mods, time him out.
One per show.
Who Dat Ninja, hello. Welcome to the show. Thank you so much for hanging out. Of course, Joe, thank you. Okay, so me. What have I been playing, baby?
Yes.
Me, baby. Me. This is perfect. You know what I'm playing, Andy? I'll tell you in my very special segment, a minute of Apex Legends.
Oh God, this has to go away. Is it Star Wars? Star Wars themes are happening in the segment?
Season 5 is lit, my friend. Let me tell you, Season 5 is just going bananas right now. I am playing almost exclusively as the new character, Loba, and she is awesome. She has a teleportation device. She chucks the thing, she boom to the thing, and she uses a store and she takes everybody's loot. It's really, really awesome. I'm having a lot of fun with it. Of course, that's not the only game I'm playing, but I figured I'd start it there with the minute of Apex because I know all of you are just waiting. You're waiting with bated breath for the minute of Apex. Especially,
it's over, right? It's done now.
We're not done there. I got 16 seconds. I know everybody loves it. Mr. TMNT, you love it. Buzz Killington, you love it. Andy, you love it. Tricky, you love it. I know everybody loves it. I think Mikey Kirsch might be the only person who actually does love it. Anyway, yeah, I'm having fun. It's a great season. If you want to play with us, you can play with us anytime on PSN. I am at Batchall 27. So go ahead, look for me, add me, do it.
Actually, can I tell you a quick funny story?
Absolutely.
I was telling everybody in my podcast that I'm going to be on your podcast tonight. And they said, oh, you're going to talk about PC gaming? So he goes, you're going to talk about Apex. I was like, no, I don't play Apex. So.
Yeah. So, I mean, it's, you know, it's a game that I'm playing, whatever. I rolled credits on Animal Crossing, which really doesn't mean anything in a game like Animal Crossing, but whatever, I did it. What else? I've been playing a game called Obey Me. Which is a isometric action RPG. It's a pretty cool game. Neon punk kind of future setting where you just kind of punch the shit out of demons and stuff, devils and demons and whatnot. It reminds me of a game we would have gotten on like the PSP or Vita. Like, just it feels like it belongs on the go as opposed to on like the big screen. It has a lot of washed out textures, and for some reason I played this at PAX East and I really thought it was cool, but I was like, ah, it's got some performance issue, like the frame rate drops a lot and whatever. And it turns out still doing that on PS4 Pro, it is still dropping frames, but I think it's got a lot of good bones there that it could be a pretty damn good action RPG. So I'm going to give it a little bit more time before I pass final judgment on it. Also, I've been playing former guest of the show, Adam Nickerson. He has a new game out, Andy.
Yes, he
You remember
does.
He created Ding Dong XL? Collide, mm-hmm. You remember Ding Dong XL? Were you a big fan of the Ding Dong?
I don't even know how to answer that.
Just answer it honestly.
There's only one way to answer that question.
One way. You like Ding Dong XL or you don't?
I've never heard of Ding Dong XL.
Okay, Ding Dong XL was an arcade game. It was very simple. You just tap the screen and the ball goes between and you're just avoiding obstacles. Well, he makes very, very simple games, and he actually got the Missile Command license, and he made Missile Command Recharged. If you have an iPhone or an Android, I recommend it 100%. It has limited play, but for like $4, I think you can unlock unlimited, you know, infinite play. So you don't have to wait for like your lives to recharge and stuff like that. But it's a blast to play. He added power-ups to it. He added experience points where you could upgrade certain things, like the rebuilding of your guns when they get destroyed. They like take time to respawn, but you could like speed that up. You could speed up the projectile speed. You could speed up the or you could make the explosions that they make bigger. Just a lot of cool stuff. And it's addicting. So once you get into it, you can't stop. Andy, I think you would like it as well. So that's pretty much what I've been playing. All right, so let's sneak into the indie news update. We actually have a couple of pieces of news here. The first one, Andy, I'll kick it over to you. There was this pretty cool, like, Mega Man Legends-inspired game that was fully funded pretty damn quickly on Kickstarter.
Yeah, it was a game called Proto Droid. I clicked the link to read the description here, but it crashed on me. Something went wrong.
Oh, something like went wrong.
Like the game's voice acting?
True, yes, yes. Maybe there's a... maybe there might be a number missing from it or something like that. I'll look into that.
In any case, it's very much, like I said, make a Mega Man Legends kind of game where it's like a 3D action platformer, essentially. Mm-hmm. It looked a little rough, but still it's you're pitching a potential game idea to people. It looked pretty good in its early stages. So if you miss Mega Man Legends, this might be a game you want to check out. And them goals up, stretch goals, which I'd read to you, but I can't.
There's a Kickstarter server issue right now. So that's where we got our information. The servers for Kickstarter are down right now. At least in some aspect. But yeah, it looked like a very...
It's also a one-man team.
Going by this
description here.
Yep.
Looks like...
It looks like it combines a bunch of like Zero and Mega Man into like one character. It looks like you augment not just like the blaster or the sword, but there's also a headpiece that you could do, a core piece and the feet, and you can mix and match all the different things that you get. They showed four bosses. I don't know if there's going to be more than that, but they showed four major bosses. But it looks pretty cool and something you might want to put on your radar.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
We also got Unto the End, which we've had Stephen Danton on this show to tell us all about. That game looks incredible, and that is actually currently right now, if you're watching this live, It's the final hours of a demo that they have on Steam. So if you want to play that right now and you're watching this right now, go ahead and play it. It's going to, they extended the demo through the weekend. It was supposed to be just a couple of days and they extended it through the weekend. It's getting a lot of great feedback. I highly recommend giving it a try. It's very unique. Very, very unique.
Yeah, I don't get that. Why a short time for the demo? Just leave it up there.
I would imagine maybe there's some semantics there that you have to deal with Steam. Like if you put something up, maybe it has to be considered an early access. I don't know. I don't know how that works.
Interesting.
Wait, I have a question. Why didn't you tell me about this at 9 o'clock at night on a Sunday when I don't have time to play it?
That's when we do the show, Kalai. What can I tell you?
Well, stop listening right now, because by the time this goes in the air tomorrow morning on Monday, this is no longer a news piece.
Yes, it's no longer news.
It is just totally invalid.
You should put onto the end on your radar, regardless. And as this video auto plays, because that's what YouTube does. Andy, what the hell is Cassette Beasts?
It looks like a weird Pokemon thing, but like you merge your beasts and then they become other beasts.
You become the beast that you capture.
And I like it. I like it a lot.
You could merge with other beasts to make these weird hybrid monstrosities.
Mm-hmm.
What's this game called? I'm sorry. Where's
Cassette Beasts.
Cassette Beasts. That's right. Cassette Beasts. No idea. It looks interesting. Put it on your radar. It looks like a Pokemon-like type game, but they say it's open world. The person was in the video, they jump from like all the way up on a cliff in 2D, like all the way down to like the bottom of the village. I don't know. It looks
pretty has cool. Actual good looking monster designs.
Oh yeah. The monster designs look cool. It looks like it kind of looks like a Zelda game, kind of like a Super Nintendo Zelda, maybe a little more color.
Right. Like, or the old Pokemon games.
Yeah.
And the Game Boy.
Looks cool.
Yeah.
All right. So that is the indie news update. Any questions, class? Good. We're moving on. Missed enough. Welcome to the stream. I appreciate it. Welcome to the show. All right, so let's get into the news that didn't quite make the big time, folks. First up here, Andy, I'm going to let you take this one.
So apparently we have a potential release date for Yakuza Like a Dragon, which incidentally also means you may have a date for the Xbox Series X
console. What?
This comes courtesy of a Finnish retailer. You know, the Finns.
Yeah.
Famous for, you know, Angry Birds and fucking snow, I guess, is what they're also known for over there. They posted a date of October 23rd for Yakuza Like a Dragon.
Mm-hmm. And why is that significant, Andy?
Because what I just said, because it's launching same day as the Xbox Series X.
Now, isn't that interesting?
Right.
Now, if I'm correct, wasn't the PlayStation 5 leaked to be in October as well?
That was also a thing. Here.
So now we're putting the puzzle pieces together, ladies and gentlemen. There was a rumor, a much debated rumor that the PlayStation 5 will be here in October. I still don't think
But then again, is October, does it scream holiday to you? Is that holiday season?
If it's the 31st, actually.
To me, I don't get the holiday vibe from October.
Oh, no. I can explain this.
Please do. Oh, you can?
Yes.
Well, yes. Go right ahead.
Black Friday keeps getting a week early every single year.
You have a point.
So now we go in October. Gotcha. Yes.
October 13th. Is it Friday the 13th?
The new Black Friday.
Because that would make sense. Black Friday. Mm-hmm. Let's see if Black Friday is on Friday the 13th this year.
I mean,
this is at this point Tuesday.
It could be a placeholder date for all we know, but
right.
Speculations abound as always.
They could also be fucking with us with the whole launch, meaning launch window.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, some of these launch windows last into the new year, for God's sakes.
The other thing is all.
Oh, hold on. You broke up there. We're getting interference from Microsoft. They're trying to
take us down.
They're trying to give us. Yeah, they're trying to silence us. They're trying to put us down. They're trying to put us down, ladies and gentlemen. They're trying to put Kalai specifically down.
God, such an oppressor.
Kalai loses. They're
such an oppressor.
The oppressive Phil Spencer is what he is. Damn you, Phil Spencer.
I hate that guy.
Damn you to heck. Black Halloween. We're gonna go to the chat while Kalai works out her internet bullshit.
Phil's already had her killed, dude. She knows what's happening at this point.
She's gone.
She had an answer. He killed her.
And the cat. Gone. Mort. Our camera moved. She's back.
Okay, I closed the Twitch. I can't see the Twitch stuff. No, but
she stopped downloading pornography. That's what. Turn off the torrents.
No, I was.
She looked up Ding Dong XL, and her whole shit broke apart.
Ding Dong XL, we're taking up all the bandwidth.
These games are all dropping on Steam, so that could be the Steam release date, because they're saying that it drops day one on Xbox. Right. Not that it releases with the Xbox.
So, right. Like, so that's weird PR speak. Like,
uh-huh. Yeah. Uh-huh.
It could be coming out on other systems before the actual Series X. Those but when the series is out, it's going to be there. Available.
Who the hell knows with them? Speaking of Xbox and Microsoft, oh boy, the May 2020 Xbox One update has added things, ladies and gentlemen. And this is about as big as the news got for Microsoft, but I still didn't feel right putting it in the official.
This sounds like hype to me. This could have been hype.
It is adding genre and player count game filters.
Ooh.
Yes, that's right, ladies and gentlemen. The Xbox website posted the following. This is on the official Xbox website. The updated community page on Xbox One makes it clearer where your content is coming from and how to explore Xbox Live. This improved layout. Okay, I got to do this as my like if this was a Xbox Direct here.
Pretend you're Phil Spencer.
This improved layout splits the page into four new channels. We've added a couple of new filtering options for your games and apps, genre, and player count. Try this out with the Surprise Me button for more catered results when you're looking for something different to play. Added with the May release, live thumbnails make it easier to get a glimpse into a stream, before jumping in. Take a scroll through what's happening on Mixer and find a new favorite streamer. There you go.
Congrats.
They did things. Speaking of doing things, holy shit, we got new games, Andy.
I'd rather have nothing. Nintendo gave us some games.
Oh, Nintendo.
On the NES and SNES online thing. Yeah. This still exists. Hey, you got to support this platform.
What did we get?
We got, for SNES, Operation Logic Bomb, which I feel we should drop in the country around this point in time.
Yes, that'd be nice.
We got Panel de Pun. What the fuck that is? Looks like a Bust a Move, Candy Crush situation, I guess. Maybe. Sure. I don't know. Wild Guns. And that's actually a great game. That got a re-release earlier last year, I think.
Uh-huh.
On something or other on the Switch.
That'll happen.
And then we got the only decent game in this lineup, Rygar, for Nintendo.
Right. Rygar's a cool
game. It's the only great game worth playing on this list. That's it. We got... Three SNES games and a Nintendo game.
That's it.
So good. This is where your $20 get you a month, folks. $20 a month. I'm sorry, a year.
Well, Nintendo has some news here. Harvest Moon One World was announced for Nintendo Switch. It's coming later this year. This is coming from IGN.com. Japanese developer Natsume announced its newest farming sim game today titled Harvest Moon One World for the Nintendo Switch. The new Harvest Moon game will be released later this year. It'll feature a new world with both new and returning characters, unique villages, and new challenges as you grow your farm. The story of the game will revolve around a world where fruits and vegetables no longer exist. Gasp! With players forced to venture beyond their towns and into the wider world to investigate a mystery and bring back produce into the world. Okay, well, look out, Animal Crossing. Harvest Moon is coming. Bom, bom. Mm. Now,
Kalai, are you a fan of the Harvest Moon?
Yeah, Kalai, you like that Harvest Moon?
No, actually, I'm very bad at anything that simulates. I just get so bored.
I understand. Believe me, I understand. I have a gnat flying around my desk. This is unfortunate. This is what happens when you have to have windows open. Damn it. Where has spring gone? Andy, that's not the only little... So that we know is coming, but now there's more rumors about what's coming to Nintendo platforms. So take us down this little rabbit hole.
So apparently we should be getting... Of course we should be getting an announcement for Pikmin 3 Deluxe on the Switch, because we got to milk that Wii U peen. As often as we can, because
you don't milk a peen, Andy. You milk a teen.
You can milk. I will show how to milk a peen. You know, you're doing it all wrong.
That's not milk,
you,
Andy.
You can definitely milk a peen.
That's not milk. Do not put that in your coffee, sir, or your protein.
Why does it taste so good? Anyway, according to VentureBeat's Jeff Grubb, who reports that other Nintendo studios will have this comes off of the Paper Mario Origami King announcement.
Right, which we'll talk about later.
Yes. There'll be other holy shit.
Dog.
Cujo.
We've gotten a cat.
Calm your tits, buddy.
He was correcting you on the peen tea argument.
He wants to get milk, that's what's going on right now. He says that there'll be more games ready for release soon. That includes other 3D Mario remasters, which have already been heavily rumored, like the Galaxy games. But it should also include Pikmin 3 Deluxe. Okay, it should also include. Doesn't sound definitive or convincing, but I don't get where it seems like if you were to guess what game you'd pick from the Wii U to be released on the Switch, then yes. That's like saying we're getting a Metroid Prime trilogy release.
Right.
And being like you're some Nostradamus.
For God's sakes, just make that already. Oh my God.
But he also says that because of the whole COVID thing and the whole we're not getting a direct for the end of time, apparently.
Right. Yep.
There'll be smaller announcements close to the game's release itself.
Sure.
So we'll get like here's Pikmin 3. It's coming out next week.
Oh, by the
Again,
way,
it's not a bold prediction, but I see it happening. Oh, like I'm convinced it could happen.
Sure. But you know what's happening right now, Andy? GTA 5 is free on Epic Game Store until the 21st.
That's a get.
What in God? They must be paying. They had to have paid.
Against that
lot
Fortnite
of
money, bro. I'm telling you right
Holy
now.
Holy Testicle Tuesday. I didn't download it. I quote unquote purchased it. Because I might be the only person on earth that doesn't have a copy of that game legitimately. So there you go.
No, actually, I did not have a copy of GTA 5. So I actually also downloaded it.
Boom.
It crashed the site the first 5 minutes went up. It completely crashed the site.
That I don't understand. That game is just that's wild.
I also just want to say that people hate on PC, but I believe this month's PlayStation game is Farming Simulator. So I'll be playing GTA 5 while PlayStation people are playing the Farming Simulator.
Well, I think that's your sim bias. That's really your
yes.
You know, you can't handle farming in real life, so you poo-poo it in the game version.
That's right. See, we see where you're going with this.
Hey, have you guys ever farmed?
I had a grapevine when I was a kid. I grew grapes. I did that.
Well, that's a very Greek thing of you to do. My grapes and olives. My parents have a small herb garden, which my children destroyed yesterday. So I know all about farming. Trust me.
They should be playing that sim game first. I feel like they ought to practice.
They should be. You're right. Okay, let's get into the dual screens report. This is where we're going to talk about major topics here from the big three plus a wild card. And at the end of that, we're going to decide who were the biggest winners and losers of the week. And actually, Andy, I'm going to start at the bottom just because we're a little closer to talking about that right now. But
oh, sure.
Paper
Go
Mario
ahead. Go
ahead. Is returning, Andy. We got ourselves a little trailer. Looks very cute. People are asking questions. What are the button prompts? Where is the experience points? People are losing.
Where is the gameplay?
Where is the gameplay, Nintendo?
People just
go to the school of Microsoft.
No one knows what to do when it comes to gameplay.
Damn it, Nintendo. Anyway, that game is coming out, I believe, June 17th, which is the same day as another video game coming out.
That's coming out as well.
Yes, another small.
I want to get Kalai's thoughts on this announcement. She's you're a big Switch fanatic, Kalai. You love, you adore your Switch. What did you think when you saw this announcement of a new Paper Mario game?
I was really excited because I do like the Paper Mario games. I do like anything Mario. I've been a hardcore Mario fan. You know what? F Sonic, Mario for life.
Gotta go fast.
I didn't expect you to go that way. Shit, just think of a huge dump on Sonic's face.
July. It's July 17th. I think it's 17th. I'm looking. Yeah, 17th. Okay,
That is correct. Yes,
and it's the same day as Ghost of Tsushima.
Meh.
I think I'm in a I'm in Kalai's boat here. I love this franchise, this series, but I love the first one. I love Thousand Year Door. Great games. But can you just don't do this whole like sticker shit? I don't want stickers in this game. Like, you have to do stickers for attacks. I don't want that. Well, just make it like an actual RPG. Make it like an actual role-playing game that's the turn-based that I'm used to. Mm-hmm. No weird sticker shit. That's my only ask of this game. And I doubt it'll be answered by Nintendo.
Buzz Killington in the chat says, fun fact, they announced Paper Mario 64 days before its release date. So people are starting to think that it might be a hint at Mario 64.
People are in quarantine too much. People, the days, now it's starting to show.
No, in reality, that's the number of folds that you need to do with a piece of paper to create Mario. You need to have 64
right,
folds.
Yes. Origami. Right.
Origami. But you know what? I'm all for this because 2020 looked pretty shitty for Nintendo outside of Animal Crossing. We don't know anything.
Not for their pocketbooks.
No. For gamers.
Not for outside. Their spreadsheets.
We don't know anything. I mean, what other games do we know that are confirmed right now? Well, aside from Paper Mario.
Farming Simulator.
No, I'm talking about Nintendo published.
Yeah, that was it. That's all we knew. It was just Animal Crossing for the whole year.
Right. So and at least
Smash
this is happening.
At some point, hopefully.
Yeah, but I don't care about that. And as much as I know there are a lot of people that do, there's only so much weeb sword boys I can get behind. I want Nintendo to dip into their well of well-established franchises, go to the history and give us a Star Fox, man. Give us that 2D Metroid. Give us give us an
no
S-Zero.
You're not, because I feel like they could easily, but we have Animal Crossing, you know, came back, sold beautifully, and they thought, you know, we should make another
Pokemon
something
DLC.
Or other. What can we do? What's
Pokemon
the Mario
DLC,
yeah,
that's what we got coming. We got the Pokemon DLC. Yeah. That's gonna be big.
Wait, you do have Xenoblade Chronicles Remastered.
There's that.
But you know did we need a remaster of that? Was that the one we needed? We got it on 3DS. We got it on
Wii U. Know what, Steven? I'm going to go Klai on this. Yes. That is a great fucking game. And more should play it. Not enough people play that game.
And if anybody's a fan of Doctor Who, the Impossible Girl actually voices one of the characters in it.
I thought that was a game for me off the Switch.
Nerds!
In case you're wondering, is a Doctor Who game coming out of the Switch?
So, as we mentioned, Paper Mario... the Origami Killer is coming out on July 17th, but so is Ghost of Tsushima. And finally, we finally got a company that knows what the words gameplay actually mean. And we got a Ghost of Tsushima 18 minutes of gameplay, pretty much unfiltered, just really minimal narration here. Andy, why don't you walk us through this bad boy?
So, this is Take Notes, Microsoft, and recently Nintendo. This is all people want to see. Like, you can make announcements all you want. It's totally fine. You can do sizzle reels again. I'll allow it. But if you want to sell a product, if you want to show people what's going on, why I should invest in your system, you just show fucking gameplay, just a direct feed of the game. And we got some 18 minutes of pure bliss of this game, which I have to admit, I wasn't really taken with when I first saw it. I love the color scheme of it. I love the whole samurai Japan aesthetic. But it looked like a generic, you know, like a third person adventure game.
Yeah.
Like an Assassin's Creed or a Tomb Raider along those lines.
Right.
But then we saw it in full display. And it was that. Plus wind mechanics. Oh yeah. We got wind mechanics, boys and girls.
There we go. HD checkerboard wind mechanics.
On a serious note, this does feel like it's a Tenchu. It's what Tenchu should be if there was a new Tenchu game around current times.
I haven't heard the name Tenchu in a long time.
In the too long of a time, yeah. We got shades of that with Sekiro, I feel. Tenchu, but that still has that Dark Souls style of, you know, giant monstrosities that you fight at some point.
Right.
This seems more based in reality. Ghost of Tsushima.
I got big Batman vibes.
Plus, we got the whole what Sucker Punch does best, the whole good and bad aspect. You play as like Jin, or you play as like the ghost.
Right. Yeah. Right. The ghost plays a little bit more like Batman. It's about terrorizing and making people, you know, terrified. And then, but it's so, you know what? It's like Batman and Superman. That's kind of like the way I looked at it. Cause Superman, he like just drops in the middle of a fight and is like, we're going to do this. Let's go. And that's kind of what the samurai's like. He just shows up in the middle of a town and he's like, here's my sword. Here's my crazy, scary mask. We're going to do this. And everybody's like, huh. And you're like, huh. And then fight time. But when you're the ghost, it's like, haha, you don't see me coming, MF-er. And I'm going to throw a pebble over here. And you're going to go investigate. And I'm going to throw a fucking bomb over here and blow up. And
stab you in the back of the neck.
And then I'm going to slit your throat in 8 pieces. Like that. That's kind of what it reminded me of. Now, I was a little bit put off by the samurai gameplay because it reminded me a little bit too much of a Souls type game. And I don't know if that's...
Oh, I didn't get that at all.
See, yeah, I got a little bit of a...
Didn't get that.
Pattern recognition. I was hoping for more of an arcadey feel. It seems more of like a...
Ooh. Feel. No, I think that would be... I think a hack and slash would be a great disservice to this game if you did that.
Yeah, I just prefer that gameplay for, you know...
Go play Neo.
I don't understand that's more realistic.
Play some Neo.
But I prefer that kind of...
Did you watch this collide? Did you catch any of this glorious 18-minute gameplay footage we got on Thursday last week?
18 minutes is just way too long of a game.
Uh-oh, hold on. You're all garbled again.
She has a samurai sword at the back of her throat.
She got ghosted by the ghost.
Just so you're all aware, my dog right now, he wants to play so bad that I've let him gnaw on my arm for the last half hour like it's a goddamn meatloaf. I am just torn to shit over here. I've been punctured every way.
Claw your back.
Like a teen girl on prom night. That's how many holes are in my arm.
Okay, so 18 minutes to me is too long. I feel with a lot of these demos that they're giving too much information. I want to be surprised. I want to be pulled in enough that I see it, I understand it. And I kind of got a look at it, you know, when they first showed the original trailer. However, it is a Sony. So my guess is that it's going to have an amazing storyline, but the gameplay is going to be terrible.
Interesting.
Ooh, I want to go further into that. What is the basis for that critique? What games do you think
Horizon Zero Dawn
had ass gameplay? Is that what you're saying to me right now on this podcast?
Yes.
Wow, that's a bold move there, Colin. See if it pays off.
The Last of Us.
I'll give you that.
I think Steven's with you in that category.
The gameplay is butt.
The Order 1886.
I like that. I like that game. I just think it needed boss characters. Other than
the game was way too short.
I liked it a lot.
That was that the big offense in that game.
It needed some boss battles.
Yeah, the storyline is amazing, but they had a Simon Says mechanic for any boss battle, and that's not the kind of I don't want to play Simon Says. I wouldn't pay $60 on a Simon Says. I'd pay $10 from my local co-op or whatever to play that stupid game.
I'll give you Naughty Dog, because Naughty Dog, for whatever reason, their shooting just is butt. But their climbing is great.
But you failed to mention God of War or Spider-Man.
Spider-Man was great.
Again, the Uncharted's.
I've only played... Now, if you'd like me to mention God of War, I was trying to be nice. But I played God of War, the first one. I haven't finished it. I played it on Vita. If you want terrible controls, play that shit on Vita, because you have to use...
Original God of War, like the first one that was on PS2 back in the day on the Vita.
Yes,
let's not talk about that. Those games leave something to be desired. God of War PS4 is top tier, if not god tier gameplay.
Spider-Man was good.
I liked
the gameplay. However, some of those side quests were stupid and repetitive over and over again. Well, like I felt that they were trying to put filler. Why the hell?
Go ahead. Go ahead, finish your statement.
Why the hell would a Spider-Man be chasing pigeons? A superhero would not waste his time chasing pigeons.
I'll tell you why, Kalai. Because he is a friendly neighborhood Spider-Man. He rescues cats from trees. He gets red balloons. Pigeons,
does it all.
He gets red balloons, and he's kind. and you do not judge this Spider-Man, man.
Ma'am.
Anyway, that's Ghost of Tsushima.
And how many goddamn backpacks does he lose? My mom would kill me if I lost that many.
He takes a lot of blows to the head, Kalai. A lot of blows to the head from very superpowered humans.
Listen, he's keeping track of Rhino and Scorpion. He can't keep track of backpacks, too. It's a lot to ask for a superhero.
I mean, I'd be less concerned about
the
backpacks.
Plus, the whole Daily Bugle thing is got to take them pictures. It's a lot for one man to handle. I would be Mary Jane, Aunt May is a whore. There's a lot of stuff. There's that aspect, too.
The symbiote at some point had to have happened in that eight-year period. So, I mean, that was taken. I just wonder how many things with the name Peter Parker are in those backpacks. And
listen, I would be grateful he didn't forget to fight crime. He did still fight crime.
Right.
He just forgot where the backpacks were.
Yeah. He could fight crime. But aren't the webs supposed to dissolve?
We're getting into
the week here. All right. biggest news probably of the week was that Unreal Engine 5 has been revealed. It looked pretty incredible. So they went over their new lighting system, which essentially seems like ray tracing, but it's all done in engine as opposed to relying on the hardware to do it. It seems to be very easy, and it seems that they're doing the same thing for sound, where you can literally just make a room and the light will know what to do in that room and the sound will know what to sound like based on the composition of the room. And you can take, and the other big thing is that they can now take like artists can now take what they make for movies, like the super high res textures, and just throw them into Unreal Engine 5, and it doesn't bog down any sort of system or whatever, because it's all done in this. I don't really know the science behind it. I'm not smart like that. But one thing that I want to point out, and this is the wild card, so just take that, you know, understand that as the basis, but it also can also double as a Sony thing, because they went out of their way several times to say, this is running on a PlayStation 5. This is running on a PlayStation 5. We're showing you this demo running on a PlayStation 5. They did that so often that people started to wonder if Unreal Engine 5 would work on a Series X. You got those bullshit articles from various websites saying that it'll be different on the Series X, that it's going to have to be ported down to the Series X. Well, after getting this reveal, which was unbelievable, if you haven't seen it yet, please look at it. The things that they're doing is just remarkable. Triangles are fucking everywhere, folks. Tim Sweeney actually came out and kind of calmed down a bunch of what people were saying. So he came out, said Unreal Engine 5 demo on PlayStation 5 was the culmination of years of discussions between Sony and Epic on the future of graphics and storage architectures. The Nanite and Lumen tech, Nanite meaning the triangles and like bringing all that in, and the Lumen being the lighting tech, will be fully supported on both PS5 and Xbox Series X and will be awesome on both. And he also says also on high-end PCs. And with features for scaling the content down to run on current generation platforms using traditional rendering and lighting techniques. Very interesting stuff coming out of this Unreal 5 reveal. And Kalai, I want to kick it to you first. If your internet doesn't die, what were your thoughts on this reveal? Your internet died. Andy, what are your thoughts on this reveal?
Well, I want to piggyback off the whole PS5 stuff. I feel like this is now going to be associated with the PS5, whether people like it or not, because that's what the marketing was all about. It was this awesome gameplay tech demo on a PS5 and was showing what next gen could and will look like. And we got a lot of glowing praise from Epic on the PS5, and they said that their SSD is light years ahead of even high-end PCs.
They say that what the PS5 is doing is not possible currently on highest-end PCs, which is interesting. Again,
this is what I've been saying about PS5 and Sony for a long time, their marketing shenanigans. is they're letting developers do the speaking and cheerleading for them, which is, I think it's a brilliant thing to do. Because Microsoft plays very, they play very hard and it comes off very desperate and needy in my eyes. Like, here's how great our box is. Look how great it is. They talk about it. Sony is like, well, we're not going to say shit, but here's a handful of devs who've had their hands on it and let them speak for it.
Right.
It works, I think, in so many better ways.
Buzz in the chat makes a good point. This is probably because of Fortnite that it works on everything. They even said it's going to work on Switch.
Oh, for sure. Yeah, definitely.
Okay, cool.
Definitely.
There was also a bit of news that we did not speak about that I just want to touch on real quick. And that was Tony Hawk 1 and 2 remake are coming in September.
Oh, yeah. That's the thing that's happening.
I forgot about that one. That looks really cool.
Yeah, that's pretty. How did you forget that?
I don't know.
It's a pretty big deal.
I don't know. I just forgot about it. But I'm very excited for that. But I want to get back to this Unreal Engine 5. I think what this presentation showed me, and then I'll kick it to Kalai, what this presentation showed me is that for the first time, I truly feel that video games are going to make a real, tangible move into photorealism.
Mm-hmm.
And I both applaud that and I'm very excited for that, but I'm also terrified mm-hmm. about that.
Well, it's like they finally crossed the uncanny valley. Like right. many people try to do that and they just go tumbling down. It's like there was a great talk I once heard about graphic fidelity and facial capture, how at a certain point things become so real it's creepy.
Yeah.
And this, when you're watching them walk through this environment, it looks like it's live footage from something that's caught in a real world environment. It's kind of stunning.
Hit me with some silly shit. What did you think of this thing?
I mean, I'm a PC gamer at this point. It's not, I don't think that the PS5 is going to be better than a top-end PC. I think when they say that, the average person to buy a PC, you're looking at maybe $1,200 for an average mm-hmm. PC. And of course, the PS5 will beat that, but a top-end PC, it's not going to beat. I mean, it's amazing what they're doing. Even if their SSD is light years away, higher than a PC, which even, again, I can't even fathom that, the PC is going to catch up real damn quick. And then I'm going to just swap out my little stick with a much better SSD. While you all are like, what do I do with a screwdriver? Where does the screwdriver go on a PlayStation?
It's going to have the little star screwdriver, a little funky one that's hard mm-hmm. to get.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Yeah. I mean, what it seems like they're talking about is not necessarily the SSD, but the way the SSD interacts with the motherboard and CPU. Like, they're creating a proprietary architecture for that. So I don't know if that is going to be something that others are going to be able to figure out or whatever. Most of the evidence that we have is that most developers and hardware engineers are kind of blown away by what they have been able to do in that aspect, which is, you know, as gamers, we've been taught that graphics are everything, right? We've all been taught that. But like, graphics is the indicator of what is power. And for the first time ever, we're starting to see that that's really not what matters. And it actually started, for me realizing this, actually started with the PS3 and the cell architecture, because everybody kept talking about the cell processor. And I'm like, processor? Who gives a shit about the processor? And like, no, the processor is going to do that. And nobody could figure out how to use it for the first 4 fucking years of the goddamn system. But like, once we got to, you know, mid-gen, you started to see that the cell processor might have been ahead of its time. And that was a true indicator of what next-gen could do, like what AI can do based on the cell processor. And I think Sony's taking that approach. What I hope doesn't happen, though, the cell processor is why the PS3 both succeeded and failed so early. They made something that was so hard to do and so expensive to make that they priced themselves out in the very beginning, and they made it hard for developers, especially third-party developers, to do anything with it for years. I hope that's not what's going to happen with their what is it called? ISP between the SSD. I think that's what they call it, the way that it communicates back and forth, sending the packets and bottlenecks and such and all that nerdy shit.
Internet service provider?
All I know.
You just said.
What?
Internet service provider?
Is that what you called it? I think they called it an ISP. Internal serial bus? I don't know. I don't know anything.
Internal serial penis.
Yes, the internal silly penis. I just hope it doesn't hit a point where it's going to be prohibitively expensive to manufacture because of this. But it seems like it's not. I don't know. Well, I mean, I guess we'll see. But I'm with you, Kalai, on the fact that PC are going to probably catch up very quickly if they haven't already. But there's also
the other problem is you got to be worried that the PS5 is going to take the biggest mistake the Vita ever did, and that's that proprietary memory. I mean, that means that it's going to be ungodly expensive when you need to upgrade.
Well, they said that the SSD, they said right now that their proprietary chip that communicates SSD to the board, they are testing this on multiple SSDs, and they've said that many SSDs that are out in the stores will be supported. They just haven't tested them all. I think they said they tested like six of like the top store brands. Like, I would assume that would be like Samsung and whatever. Western Digital, like shit like that. But Microsoft actually has the proprietary hard drives. They actually have the cards that you need to buy that say, you know, that are, I mean, you can obviously still plug a USB port, you know, in or storage, but they actually have proprietary memory. That's actually closer to what the Vita did, which is stupid.
Right, that is correct. However, a lot of times with Microsoft is that they start off proprietary, but then they expand. Like, let's look at the controller, the Xbox One controller. When that first came out, you had to have that proprietary headset with the special adapter. And then they're like, exactly. And they fixed that.
Oh, God, that's the thing that was real.
But the 360 had that hard drive. The 360 had that stupid hard drive that you snap to the top of the system. I think, what did it come with? What did it come with? A 512? I don't remember.
Not enough. It was super
126
tiny.
Maybe. It came with something stupid. And then you had to like upgrade that, but it was a private, it was like that big. It was huge. And you had to snap that to the top of the system, but you could also plug in an external hard drive. I don't know if it supported the external hard drive. I don't remember, but I think both PS3 and 360 did not support external hard drives right out of the bat. I think it was later on that they added that feature. But either way, like, I know most gamers have an external hooked up for the games that don't necessarily need to be installed on the solid state drives anyway, like your smaller indie titles and stuff like that. So I don't think it'll be much of a problem. Also, the storage space, the out of the box storage space is going to be a problem. Like, they need to figure that out, because games are only getting bigger. For God's sakes, if you want to play just the free Call of Duty Battle Royale bullshit, you need 188 gigabytes of space on your hard drive. That's absurd. It's a lot of space.
It's why I don't play Call of Duty.
Dead guy duties. All right. Anyway, Andy, what does Microsoft have to tell us?
Not much of anything.
Yes.
Of any real value
for Microsoft
this week. I feel like a lot of the news, the epic Unreal 5 announcement, and all the PS5 praise on their behalf and working closely with Sony for years, and the SSD praise, Microsoft was quick to sort of be like, hey, us too over here. Look at us. This applies to us too, kind of, maybe. We're not sure yet. It was weird. It was when the footage came out, there was a tweet I saw. I think it was from Phil or from the Xbox official Twitter account. It had a list of Xbox One developer games that are using Unreal Engine mm-hmm. for their games.
Yeah.
It didn't say Unreal Engine 5.
Right.
That's how you do PR speak. because people just assume that you mean Unreal 5, but not really, just Unreal version ? And they were eager to see. There was an Aaron Greenberg tweet that really was like, it was such a turnoff. It was, wow, imagine what it'll look like on the most powerful console ever. It was like, bro, you have to calm down. Like, it's the desperation is like, it's in the air at this point. Like, I get it. Like, I know you can't let your competitor have a little bit of like positive spotlight without you kind of chiming in there a little bit, but I don't like that. It's, you don't need to do that every single time. But what happens now is this engine and PS5 have an association that most people will think it's exclusive to the PS5, which it's not at all. But people don't understand. That's how marketing works. That's how headlines work too.
Yeah.
No one reads the updates. Yes. I can say close sources say that a new Silent Hill game is coming out, PS5 exclusive, and that blows up. And then there's an update a day later in the footnotes. Oh, it's going to PC too. But no one reaches that. Like, less than half people read the updates. So the initial headline, the initial grab, is what makes the most impact. So what's happening now is most people are going to think that Xbox's reveal last week, the third-party gameplay reveal, which looked like current-gen games, which is what it was basically, is what next-gen looks like on Series X, which is completely untrue.
They really
and next-gen on PS5 is what Unreal looks like, only on PS5.
Right.
Right. And that's, yeah.
You know,
it's a shame, but that's how people will see it.
Yeah. And, you know, they said anything that's being currently created in Unreal 4 will be able to be scaled up to Unreal 5.
Sure.
Which is fine. Guess where they didn't say that during this review? Yeah. Where they said PlayStation 5. It was a great relationship between Sony and
something
Unreal.
Is there. There's a partnership there. We're not sure what the scope of it is.
I mean, they clearly had something where they were right. Only mention us. Like, okay, you got it, boss.
Yeah, but to what end? Because right. I feel like if it's an engine that's going to be available to every developer across every platform. Right. So what is the point of getting your name on the branding? Is it just because you've shown nothing for the PS5? It's like, oh well, put our name on there. That should be fine.
It could be. It could definitely be like a sly little right. way of being like, hey, we don't want to
tip our hat just yet.
Last of Us and Ghost of Tsushima just right. yet. We'll wait till after.
Just
July.
Put our name on there. It all makes sense.
But Andy,
Unreal 5, PS5, it kind of has a nice ring to it. Yes,
Kalai, do you think that? And I know that this will be like a Microsoft thing, but like, do you think? That after Ghost of Tsushima in July, we're going to say mid-August. Do you think mid-August, mid-September, and then your mid-October launch, do you think 3 months, not even 3 months, 2 months, is enough time for Sony to get hype out for PlayStation 5?
I think the hype is already there. I think the hype came when they said that it's going to be backwards compatibility, which is one of the issues that I addressed with the next generation. This generation, when the Xbox X came out, and of course the new PlayStation 4 came out, I pondered that the next generation will have to have games.
Yeah.
Because PlayStation came out with like something like a crazy like amount of games for their launch titles, like 100 games, whereas Xbox didn't come out with that many. Xbox this time around is going to have the Game Pass, and I think that's going to be critical to their next generation.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's going to be interesting to see if so because Sony flubbed the whole backwards compatible thing when they did their ear demonstration little presentation, but like they flubbed that by saying only our top 100 games perform perfectly, like we're backwards compatible. Like you shouldn't have said that. You shouldn't just put a number on that.
Yeah, because that's what people again. The headline said 100 games only available on PS5.
Right.
Which wasn't the truth.
But what they should have said was very few games won't be supported. We haven't found those
right.
games yet.
Just say that and then give it a number. To answer your question, I think August, if that's the official start time for them to start really marketing the PS5 and to start showcasing.
That because they typically don't want to rain on a you know current
right.
game.
You know? So I think I'm going to meet you halfway on this. I think Last of Us has more cachet than Ghost does. Ghost looks great, but I think they don't want to take away from The Last of Us coming out. So I think once that's out the door, end of this month, June will be when they'll start showing more on PS5. That's my prediction.
Right. Buzz Killington in the chat, he actually has something very interesting to say. He says he has a prediction that it's going to be a Sony Epic partnership for bringing future PS5 games to the Epic store, since Sony does not have a way to get to PC like Microsoft does. Which via could Steam? Be. No, because PlayStation is, they have Horizon coming out on Epic.
Right.
So, yes, and, you know, if you want to go to bed with a terrible publisher.
I mean, Epic has been doing a lot to give back to the indie developers. So, like, I mean, I don't know how I... Steam is butt. I think
I understand that, and I've talked to indie developers where I said, what do you think about what Epic is doing for indie gamers? And I think over 50% said the exact same thing to me. I would rather put out on Steam. I was like, okay.
Wow.
Yeah. I was really impressed. A lot of indie developers were like, you know what? The store just isn't that great. Okay.
Yeah, I think it all matters of the deal you get, because, you know, they were saying, like, we've spoken to a few as well, and like they were saying that you get different deals with different stores, but Steam is all the same. You throw it up there, it could die, it could go great, you could hit the algorithm, you could get plugged, you could not get plugged. I don't know. Mr. TMNT in the chat says Sony's stupid for putting their games on PC. The one thing they have left is their exclusives. Yes and no. I agree for them that to keep the mystique of the PlayStation brand, I think it's very important to keep your exclusive where they should be. But for, you know, for gamers, like, it's the same argument that people have been making for Xbox, is like, it's good for gamers. Get the games everywhere. You're going to make money on every sale. Why cut, you know, part of your audience out?
Well, I think Sony's approach is a little bit different, because if you're talking about Horizon, which was, it's coming at least, well, 4 years after its initial launch on PS4. Okay. Right, still, that's a long time, though. So it's not
right.
Like,
if they continue that pattern.
That is where I feel you'll lose me in the, why am I buying your device if I could just get a high-end PC and just have that for my every single game box? But Sony is like, well, we'll have it on our system first for a couple of years, and then we'll get the good audience, the install base, and then for those who haven't bought a PS, you know, device, and only they got a PC, we'll buy it on, you know, years later, though. So if you can wait that long, that's fine. But
true PC gamers will wait that long. I know a lot of people. I know a lot of people that waited a year to buy Borderlands 3 because they refused to buy on the Epic Store.
Yeah, that's dedication. I don't get that. That's fanboyism right there. Like, why? The game's out. Buy the game.
We have some mailbag questions that I'd like to get to.
Sure, of course, I'm sorry.
This one's about the state of play. This is coming from Missed Enough in our Discord channel, which you could join if you join our Patreon at any tier. You get an invitation. That's patreon.com/NDS podcast. Enough says, after the recent state of play and the larger reveal of exactly what Ghost of Tsushima is, there's been a lot of discussion around how derivative it is of other franchises, which we've spoke about already. All these seemingly come to the same conclusion. It is derivative, but is that really a bad thing? In a world where original art and original ideas are hard to come by, how important is it a game be completely original? Do you feel similarly about GOT? What's GOT? Ghost of Tsushima. Never mind. I thought he was referring to a different game. Do you feel similarly about Ghost of Tsushima, or do you feel like most of the comparisons are only looking at the game on a surface level? I'll just say that I think, yes, we're looking at surface level, because 18 minutes is not enough to really know what a game is. We don't have the controller in our hands. So I think all we have is comparisons. That's what happens all the time. Like, if I tell people what game this show is, like, they're going to say, oh, it's like, you know, Giant Bomb. It's like, oh, it's a news show. Oh, okay, I get it. It's a gaming news show. I'm like, well, yeah, but we're also kind of stupid, and, you know, it's more about the relationship. It's like, you know, it's hard to really get into the nuance of what makes something original, you know. But I want to kick it to Kalai first. What do you think?
I think that you know what, people come up with a concept, and then that concept is done time after time. And just because they use the same concept doesn't mean it's not original. The best example is roguelites. How many roguelikes are now on the market after being created? And each one of them has their own special thing. And right. I think that's what Ghost of Tsushima is going to be. It's going to have its own special thing that's going to make it great. And the storyline, I think, is going to really separate it from everything else. And that's basically what Sony is. It's great stories. Terrible gameplay.
Mm-hmm. Andy.
I could just say this is the one word answer, or actually two words. Death Stranding. When a game tries to break from the mold and be different, people don't want it. And they don't respond to it. Another
terrible game design.
Well, that's the highly debatable. I will fight you on that. I fucking love that game. But when you try to have an actual original game, people don't, they don't want it. They want what they're used to.
Right. It's like,
so it's hard to find. How do you have to really like ride that line where like it's a familiar game, it's a familiar franchise, but how do we do things differently? I mean, Steve, we've had how many indie devs on our podcast with Metroidvania games? It's like, okay, we know that's the base, but why is it better? Why should I play yours over other ones?
Oh, because we have this mechanic, or we're
right. You know, yeah. And I think Ghosts like Calais will have their own special flavor to it, right, which we haven't seen yet. Because you know,
I mean, it has a cool samurai, like vintage samurai movie mode where you play in like all black and white. It has no HUD, no map or anything like that. Like you have to follow wind and birds and like all the shit to foxes to find out where you're going. Which is a cool thing. But we have another question. This has come from Peter, also from our Discord. There's been a bunch of Ninja Turtle talk across the shows lately, which is true. We do talk a lot of Ninja Turtles.
That's all you. I blame you fully for that.
Which is great because Ninja Turtles are my jam. Question, who is your favorite villain from across the Turtles universe? Whether it's from one of the TV shows, the movies, the comics, or video games, it could be all your choice. Kalai, who's your favorite Ninja Turtles villain?
I'm going to go classic with Shredder here.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. It's just, I grew up with the original movies. I tried to watch the new movies. It just wasn't the same for me.
Sure. Yeah, no, of course. Yeah.
So, well, Shredder I'm definitely
kind of blue in that first movie, for sure. So there's actually an interesting story about the first Michael Bay movie. Apparently, people were so up in arms over the fact that, like, I forget the actor's name, but that white dude was Shredder. Remember in the coming attraction, he looks at the suit of armor and it like went over his face and everything like that. That people were so up in arms that they went back and reshot the movie to have an actual Urukusaki Shredder.
Was it like General Shredder or some shit like that? Like he's a military guy. Yeah, the original pitch.
It was something stupid like that. Yeah, like he was a shrewd businessman that had this ancient armor that he would wear and make him super crazy powerful. Whatever. So yeah, that's interesting. For me, and then I'll kick it to Andy. For me, it's Krang. Now here's why. I think Krang is one of the dumbest designs. I hate Krang. I think he's stupid. But any villain that makes Shredder his bitch, like Krang does in that 80s cartoon, is a badass. Just full stop. It's kind of like when Lord Zedd showed up on Power Rangers and was like, Rita, you terrorized these guys for a whole year. You couldn't get the job done. It's my turn. Sit down. And then in the movie, Ivan Ooze shows up and he's like, Zedd, Rita, you suck. Sit down. I'm handling this. That's what I kind of like in my villains. I like a big bad villain to come in and be like, you other villains suck. Andy, who's your pick?
I'm going to go Baxter Stockman.
I like Baxter. He's good.
Because he was completely insane in the comic books. He tried to kill April many times.
Poor April.
He became a cyborg at one point. And Donatello actually kept his body because fucking, of course, why wouldn't he keep his body?
It's for science.
And then he came back, and then there's nanomachines and all that shit, nanobots, what have you. But I also liked his cartoon version where he was a fucking fly.
And the Mousers are great.
And the Mousers, yeah.
Yeah, the Mousers are great. Yeah. Missed Enough says Leatherhead is the right answer here.
Leatherhead.
I like Leatherhead. He was cool.
Yeah, if you like fucking gumbo.
Pain in the ass in the video game. What, Turtles in Time? Pain in the ass. Right, it was Turtles. I think it was Turtles in Time.
Yeah. I want to actually expand on that. Why? What makes him so special?
Oh, Missed Enough? Yeah, Missed Enough. What makes him so special?
Why?
Mr. TMNT.
Is he a gator?
Apropos.
Is it an accent?
With Mr. TMNT with the very, very apropos name says Rat King, 80s, 90s cartoon. Rat King
was
cool. I liked the toy design. He had a cool.
Why not just go fucking Mutagen Man?
Mutagen Man sucked.
Or Triceraton, for that matter.
Triceraton was cool, though. He came from like another dimension. That was cool.
Woodchuck and what was the other one's name?
I mean, there's Bebop and Rocksteady. They're god tier, right?
Nah, they're just bumbling psychics, though. God tier, get out of here.
They are
Metalhead.
Metalhead, yeah.
Metalhead,
no, they're instantly recognizable. Like there's five. There's your five main TMNT villains. You have Shredder, Bebop, Rocksteady, Baxter Stockman, and Krang. Like those are your five. Like that's the rogues. That's like your Joker, Mr. Freeze, Riddler, Penguin, Catwoman. Like that's like your main villains. Wingnut. TMNT says Wingnut.
Shut up.
Fucking Wingnut.
Someone's got a screw loose. That was a pun because that was the other one. His little psychic guy.
Well, if there are no more questions, we're going to kick it to the chat. Chat, if you have any questions, now's the time to get them in. So get them in now while I'm going to go over a couple of other things here. Ladies and gentlemen.
Who are the worst turtle villains you can think of?
all of them. Anyone else, really. Ladies and gentlemen, if you want to follow the show on social media, you can do so. We are at NDS Podcast. I am at BatChild27. Andy is at PantsGuy. And our Facebook group is facebook.com/groups/DS Podcast. Kalai, do you have your doc open where you can tell everybody where to follow you and your show?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
You can follow me on Twitter at Kalai21. That's KALAI, the number 21. I do a podcast called The Game Stuff Cast. We talk about everything from PC gaming to PlayStation to Xbox to Vita to Switch to PS3, you name it. One of us has probably played it. So if you would like to check us out, we are on all major podcasts. So we are definitely there. We also have a Facebook page. It's Game Stuff Podcast. Just ask for an invite and we'll invite you. I like to keep it private so my boss doesn't know I'm on Facebook at work. And of course, you can always get in touch with me on Twitter. Our Twitter is at GameStuffCast. So yeah, check us out. Come talk video games with us. I just love to talk video games.
Who are your other hosts?
We have Joe, who is, of course, Mr. TMNT84, who is in the chat. We have currently Roberto, who is at Jehuty88. That's Jehuty88. He is great on the indie games. Loves talking about indie games. So if you're looking for a new indie game, come listen to us. And of course, right now we have Corey, who is from Canada. He's the Grounded Gamer. That's 2Ds, no E, double D, no E on Twitter. Mm. So definitely, no, seriously, come check us out. We would love to talk with you guys.
Awesome. And we don't have any questions in the chat, so that's good. We're good. So we can just kind of move on down here and wrap this thing up. Ladies and gentlemen, again, if you want to watch this live, we do it every Sunday night on twitch.tv/dualscreenstreams. If you're watching later on YouTube, thank you so much. You could subscribe to our YouTube channel at youtube.com/dualscreenstv. Thank you, Zazu Pitts, for our theme song. Thank you, Matt Murray, for our overlay, which you're watching. If you're watching live, thank you very much. And our logo, of course. Thank you, Andrew Douglas, for all of our cartoon art. And again, if you want to join our Patreon, it's patreon.com/NDS podcast. And if you want to buy any of our merch, it's dualscreens.com/store. That's DUELscreens.com/store. Andy, is there anything you want to tell the kids before we go?
Yeah. Can we pick some winner and losers here on the show?
You know what? We should. We need to write that in the doc so I stop forgetting about it.
You say at the beginning of the show every single week.
But I'm... Ron,
how do you always forget to do this?
I'm typing it in now. Winners and losers, period. All right. Winners and losers is in the doc. Who do you got winning before we go?
I'm saying it's Epic and then by extension, Sony, because of just how it was all branded in the marketing for the unveiling of the Unreal Engine 5.
Yeah.
And loser is Microsoft because fucking pay attention to me, please.
Kalai, who do you got? Winners and losers.
I'm going to go with winner is Nintendo for announcing Paper Mario. They are not big into graphics, but their gameplay is amazing, and I just want to give them props for that. The loser, it's kind of hard for me. I mean, I hate to say Microsoft because Microsoft did shine on the third party that is coming to the Xbox.
That was last week's show. Don't you go into the past to be making winners and losers. This is about this week. All right. Let's not get crazy around here.
All right, then Xbox, because they didn't put out much, I guess.
Damn right. For me, biggest winner is Sony, because they showed what we know as gameplay. They said we would get gameplay, and they fucking delivered gameplay. How hard was that? And the loser, of course, is Microsoft, because they showed... They probably showed more gameplay this week than they did when they said they were going to show gameplay. And by that, I mean the Unreal 5 engine reveal that they said was on a PS5 is probably also going to run on an Xbox Series X. So there you go. You got gameplay for that then, too. No hype zone this week.
I have one last thing to say.
What?
I have one more winner for this week's podcast.
One more winner. Here we go. Winner is you, ladies and gentlemen, for listening. Thank you so much.
Well, it is me because Kalai's here, and I miss Kalai so much. And having her on the show means a lot. So thanks for being here.
Fix your
image, girl. Thank you. I miss you, girl.
I know.
Stop dialing ding dongs.
No,
Yeah, watch with your ding dongs. All right. We loved having you on. You're always welcome here. And if you ever want us to completely sandbag your podcast, you let us know anytime. We'll be there. thank you so much for listening, ladies and gentlemen. We appreciate it. Thank you, Andy. Thank you, Kalai. And as always, please be excellent to each other.